His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
Thanks, Jonathan. Good morning, everyone. Good to have everybody here. How many are enjoying the snow? Come on, give me an amen or something like that. Okay, clap the hands. Okay. I'm enjoying it, although I believe the weatherman, and so I thought I was going to be done at 2, scooped, done at 4, scooped. I just had to scoop a little bit this morning again. It never seemed like it never stopped, but very thankful for the bright sunshine. Well, I'm excited about our study in Ephesians, and I'm really excited at the start of this service, having gone through the first couple of verses in Ephesians just an hour or so ago. Very excited about that. As we were singing How Great Thou Art, and I asked if we could sing that this morning. So that was my second time singing that song, and it had the same effect as the first time we sang it this morning. I was just thinking about all of God's blessings and all of what God is doing above and beyond anything that I could have ever thought right here at Lakeside Fellowship. And so so many just cool things going on. Next week, Adam shared that we have a child dedication, and that's always a special service where parents will bring up children and just simply make a commitment to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that's always cool. But then with that service, we're also going to have a baptism service, and as of the end of the first service, we have 11 people getting baptized next Sunday. 11. And so let's give a hand to that. Thank you for that. And the reason why we should be clapping is because those are individual lives that God has claimed for Himself, and they're just wanting to publicly identify with that. And so for me, they're the favorite services. Probably for you too. You don't have to hear me as much. You get to hear just people sharing what God's done in their lives. So you make sure we'll have baptisms in both services, and so it's going to be a special day. So let me just ask the Lord to bless our time in this unbelievably cool passage of Scripture here this morning. Father, thank you for the blessings that has already been listed. I thank you for Adam's leadership of the missions committee and thinking about going, our group that's in Mexico right now, and we got a little bit smaller group going to go to South Dakota, and then Adam and Dave are going to go all the way to Burma, and Lord, we're Adam and Nathan and a group of, you know, maybe up to 15 total families, including Adam and Nathan, going just to North Ankeny and starting the gospel presence there in a unique way. And so, Lord, you're doing some great things in our midst, and they're all just an outcome of your blessing. And so, Lord, if you don't bless, if you don't work, if you don't do, if you're not the sovereign God, then none of this happens. And so, Lord, I just pray even this morning that you would give us a spirit of praise as we go through your word. In Christ's precious name, amen. Now, if you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians 1, or you have your handout there, whether you're used to the Bible or not, with a handout, you know, follow along our prayer request this whole week, and this morning at 7 o'clock, a group of people prayed for this service and the last service. I just pray that you would receive a blessing if you're in Christ, and if you're outside of Christ, you would get a little bit of the flavor of what you're missing out on, and what God wants to actually, who He wants to be, and what He wants to do in your life, and just the blessings. So just to back up a little bit, we're starting in Ephesians, and we'll be here, right up till summertime probably. There's 6 chapters. As we thought about it, the little caption that we came up with
to kind of describe what Paul is trying to accomplish in this letter is letting Christ define who you are. And so last week I asked in a couple of different ways, what defines you? I mean, when the people closest to you, around you, people that matter in your life, what would they say defines your life? And to be honest, when I think of that question for myself, I think of, well, you know, probably, my mom might say I have a son who's a pastor, and it's not that I wouldn't want to be defined as being a pastor, but the reality is that that falls way far short of just being defined by Christ himself. I want my family or whoever to know it's like he was radically, almost absurdly, sold out to Christ. And that's who Paul was, and that's what he's asking us to be. So what defines you? And so I said last week, and I would like to repeat this occasionally as we go through Ephesians, when Paul is writing to believers, and so if you're not necessarily, you don't know if you're a follower of Christ, then listen in, ask God why you're not a follower of Christ. But Paul is trying to do a couple of things as we go through Ephesians. He's trying to define who you are, how you became who you are, and there's great blessing in that, and we're going to see that this morning. And then in chapter 4, 5, and 6, how you should live based on who you are. So he wants us to know who we are in Christ, if you're in Christ. He wants you to have a good grip. You will never be joyful if you don't realize how you became who you are. You'll never be thankful to God. And then just what's our reasonable service back to God flowing out of who we are, how we became who we are. So how should we live based on who we are? That's really what Paul is writing for Ephesians. Now today, Jonathan read verses 3 through verse 14. And in the original language, that's one sentence. One sentence. And it has, depending on how you count, about a dozen specific blessings for the believer in that one sentence. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the one sentence over three different weeks. And it really divides up by the Father's work, the Son's work, and the Spirit's work. So let me just kind of, so you have this outline so you know where we're going today, next week, and the following week. So in verses 3 through 6, you have the reality Paul's trying to get across is that salvation has been planned by the Father. So we're going to look at the Father's work in salvation. And you'll notice in verse 6, a phrase that will end each one of these little subdivisions in this one sentence. It says, to the praise of his glorious grace. So he's going to talk about the Father's work in our salvation. And then in verses 7 through 12, we're going to see that salvation has been purchased by the Son. And those verses have to do with the Son's work of salvation. And if you just look at verse 12, you'll see the little phrase that kind of ends this little section, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. There's that phrase again. And then in verses 13 and 14, a couple of weeks down the road, we're going to see that our salvation has been preserved by the Spirit. So we'll see the Spirit's work in salvation. So really the Trinity here. And if you look at the end of verse 14, you'll see it has the phrase again, to the praise of his glory. So Paul's going through, it's one sentence, but he's going to start with the Father. That's where we're going to be today. He said, to the praise of his glory. He's going to talk about the Son, to the praise of his glory. And then he's going to talk about the Spirit's work, to the praise of his glory, in having to do with our salvation. Now, if you are a follower of Christ, and I do not assume that everyone is this morning. I pray that. I desire that. I would preach for that. Christ died for that. But it's not an automatic for everyone here. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you're someone who has believed and received Jesus as Lord and Savior, then based on verses 3 through 6, there are five sure things that are truthful for you today. Five things that are for sure truthful for you today. And I'd like to share them with you based on verses 3 through 6 and the Father's work. Number one, and these will be very simple. There are going to be three words for each one. I think you can follow along with me. Number one, if you're a follower of Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed. Write it down, mark it, praise the Lord for it. The purpose of the Father is to bless you, is to bless you. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So three times he talks about blessed be the God and Father who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And so if you were in Ephesians and you were reading this, you would say, well, he's in jail. He's chained to a Roman soldier, but the first thing that comes to his mind are the blessings of being in Christ, the blessings of being in Christ. Now, the word blessed is a really kind of cool little word here, and we get our word eulogy from this word blessed, and it means to speak well of or to think fondly of. So as a pastor, throughout the year, I'll do a number of funerals and some weddings, but a number of funerals, and occasionally, and not infrequently, I'll do a funeral, conduct a funeral, somebody I don't really know. And so I'll meet with the family and try to get an idea of who was that person. Because the worst thing you can do, have you ever been at a funeral where the guy doing the funeral obviously didn't know the person that had just died? It's like, man, it's like that guy doesn't even know, you know. So you try to get some, and you know, some funerals are easy to do because the person has been sold out for Christ and they've given their life, and their kid's testimony is my dad or my mom or, you know, my sister or brother. They were just such an encouragement to me. But I got to tell you, I've done some funerals of some downright rascals. And I'm trying to, as I talk to the family, could you give me something good that I could say? And you don't want to lie. But here, God is eulogizing the believer. And he doesn't have to fake anything. He knows all about us. But if you're in Christ, he has some blessings. He has some things that he wants you to know for yourselves. And he wants you to believe them about yourselves. Now, I want you to see right at the beginning, take a little bit more time right here, that the blessings of God are found in Christ only. Now, there's a common grace, certainly, that goes out to our earth, and the rains come, and the snow, and there's a crop that grows, and there's safety, and there's health, and certainly. But the spiritual blessings, which is what we're talking about here, are found in Christ alone. Now, I want you to notice, and it's going to be all the way through the book of Ephesians, but I just want you to notice it in the chunk that Jonathan read, the phrase in Christ or in him or in the beloved. So I'm just going to kind of quickly read through the verses that Jonathan's read, and I want you to notice how often it says these are found, this blessing is in Christ or in him or in the beloved. So let me just take the time to read, starting at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him, Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. The beloved is Jesus himself. In him, verse 7, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us all in wisdom, insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and on earth. Verse 11, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in him and were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And so Paul is going over and over and over again, our blessings are found in a person in Christ. Somebody that has more time in the day than myself counted in Paul's letters alone in the New Testament, 164 times he uses the phrase in him or in Christ or something like that whenever there's a blessing for the believer that's being mentioned. And so that's why we're so hung up at Lakeside Fellowship. And if like if you have me over to visit you, I want to know about Christ. And don't be shamed if you don't have like a story. We want to tell you then about Christ. Because all the blessings from heaven flow through a person to you. There's no other way. God has chosen that to be the case. So Christians are unbelievably rich and blessed in Christ. Now this morning, as I go through these blessings, I would like us to be a little bit more Pentecostal than normal, okay? And that won't take some of you very much, to be honest with you. What I would like to do, if you're in Christ, I throw this challenge out. Somewhere, as I list off these blessings, there's going to be five of them, and then next week there'll be more. But if you could say, wow, that's a blessing to me, just like say amen, just randomly. Like take a chance on your wife hitting you or something, or raise your hand, say praise God, say hallelujah, whatever you want to do. But we're to be blessing God for his blessings. That's what Paul is trying to get us to do. Paul would have never in his life wanted even have dreamt of a group of people gathering together and they never smile and they never are thankful for what Christ has done for them. So let's not be that group this morning. Someone has said concerning believers being blessed, Jesus paid it all so that he might give it all. Every blessing we have is in Christ because he died on the cross. So it flows. So Jesus paid it all so he might give it all. I thought of 2 Corinthians 8:9, which would put some truth to that. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Okay, somebody get an amen out there and you can be checked for the box. You can check that box. Okay, so you're blessed. Number two in the passage, you're chosen. Your day, praise the Lord for that right there. You're chosen. Look at verse 4. Now we're talking about if you're in Christ. It says in verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now we're not going to run and hide from any of the doctrines of God. It says he chose us. It's a specific word. Here's the definition up on the screen. It means to pick out or choose for oneself. And it literally means to choose out of a larger group or choose out of many. In our passage, in the original language, it's in the middle voice, and this is what it means. That God chose believers by himself, for himself. He didn't get a lot of counsel. He didn't reason with a lot of people. God, before the foundation of the world, that's what it says right here, before the foundation of the world, that God chose by himself, for himself, a group of people who would be holy and blameless. Now, let me just give you a couple of verses. There could be 20 verses here. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so in our vocabulary, and next Sunday at when we hear testimonies, we'll talk about people receiving Christ, and they prayed and they asked Christ to come into their life. They admitted that they were a sinner. That's the human side. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. But where we need to understand biblically is that behind every one of those public testimonies, behind yours, if you're in Christ, is a God who first initiated that salvation. None of those 11, myself, would never come to God if he didn't woo me or draw me. It's his initiating work. You know the verse. Finish it for me. We love him because he first loved us. Salvation, Jonah said, is of the Lord. And so God is always the initiator. So when we talk about these blessings, they're all verbs that belong to God in salvation. You know, half the time I'm talking with somebody about in Christ and their life's all screwed up and you know, bad decisions and horrible sin and the devastation of that. You know, honestly, I could just say, if you would just get out of the way of yourself and let God bless you, you would be unbelievably blessed. He wants to bless us, praise the Lord. Now, the lost sinner, clearly in Scripture, left to his own ways, does not seek God. Let me read to you, just write these verses down, Romans 3. These verses are all over Scripture, Romans 3. Here's what Paul wrote concerning the lost. As it is written, there is none naturally that is righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands, and of themselves there's no one who seeks for God. That's Romans 3, 10, 11. So if there's any degree of you being here this morning because you're seeking God, then you should be encouraged this morning, because I can guarantee you God's on the backside of that drawing you to himself. And all you have to do is say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you do your work. It's not as complicated as us religious people make it to be. Listen to a couple of verses, Titus 3, 4, and 5. There you go. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his mercy. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. Go to the next verse if you would there. Who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. Now notice how Paul has this same thought going. Which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. So if there's one here, if there's many here, and there are, who claim to know Christ, then you have been chosen to salvation. It's not a claim of merit on your part. It's a claim of mercy. It's a claim of God's mercy. Now, if he chose you and you identify with Christ before the foundations of the world, then you have to believe what God is saying about you, that you're not an afterthought in life. I don't know where you're at in life, but you know, believers can often fall back and say, God, where are you? You know, how did you bring me here and then leave me? You're not an afterthought. A matter of fact, if you're chosen, listen, if you're chosen before the foundation of the world and you identify with Christ, then God has been thinking about you since the beginning of time. God's been thinking about you since the beginning of time. And you need to relish that. You need to praise God for that, that he actually cares, and life seems so chaotic and it's not going the way I want it to go. Well, it's not God's fault. He's been thinking about you since the beginning of time. So you're blessed, you're chosen. Number three, you have purpose. You have purpose. If you're in Christ, you've believed, you've received, you've surrendered, you've had your sins forgiven, then you have purpose. Verse 4 and 5. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, here's the word, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. So you have a purpose. Now, I want you to zero in on the word predestined. And, you know, if you want, you can follow the path that I went. You can go to seminary. Nate and I went to the same seminary. A couple others went to the same seminary as well. And you can take four or five classes. You can pay several thousands of dollars to learn what the word predestined means. And you can hit it from every angle, backwards, forwards, and reverse. And when you get done, you're more confused than when you started sometimes. But let me give you the word. The word literally means to mark out boundaries, to predetermine a plan, An example in everyday life is if you're going to be a pilot, you have to register a flight plan, a predetermined plan of where you're going to go. So if I'm flying to Minneapolis, I put in a flight plan, and I'm not a pilot, so I just from what I've heard, you put in, and that doesn't give you the right to decide, well, today, it's a beautiful day, there's a football game going on in Denver, so I think I'll just fly to Denver and then get to Minneapolis. You go according to your flight plan. Well, God has a flight plan for believers. This particular word is only used for believers or for God's plan of salvation. This particular word is never used for somebody who never trusts Christ. The sinner doesn't need God's help to put himself in hell. He just naturally makes his choices and goes there. So this word is always used in a positive context concerning your salvation and mine. Look how the word is used in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. This Jesus, Peter is preaching to the ones who just said crucify him, and they saw him walking around resurrected, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. So just a couple of things I want you to observe from that verse. First of all, God has a plan for you, but there's also human responsibility. He said, this was God's plan that he would die on the cross, but you're responsible for delivering Christ up. So God's sovereignty doesn't mean you don't have any human responsibility. So God has a plan. He has a purpose for us. And the plan, primarily when he saves you, is for you to be like his son. And so when I say, or we say, or somebody says, is your identity in Christ? That has some biblical foundation, a very familiar passage, Romans 8, starting at verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, there's the word, to be conformed to the image of his son. So his plan for you is to be like his son, to so live your life that whether you ever spoke anything or not, your identity would clearly be in Christ. That's a good goal to have for 2019. Lord, at the end of 2019, help me to look more like your son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers, and those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. That's salvation. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Eventually, that's heaven. So God's got this flight plan for every believer. I want you to notice in verse 4, at the end of verse 4 and the beginning of verse 5, his plan is based out of a motive of love. In love, he predestined. So whenever God has a plan for you, you should want to get into the center of that plan, because as he looks down on you in love, he prepares a specific plan for you. And the greatest peace and joy, forget the circumstances, the greatest peace and joy, Paul's in jail when he's writing this, is in the center of his plan for you. I told the first service, and this is where I actually got the most amens from. I told him in the first service, I really think my preaching would be much better if I could actually sing, because I often think of songs come to my mind, and man, if I could, I'd really be an awesome preacher if I could just like bust out a song right now, So I get the most amens for that right now, because that's not going to happen. But you know what? When I was thinking of this, William R. Newell wrote a song called At Calvary. I think we've even sung it here before. I can only imagine him thinking about the blessings of God. I'll bet you'll know a couple of these phrases from this song. Here's what he said. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was what? Free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen? Amen. So his plan that he has is a plan from the beginning of ages, from before we even recognize time. It's not a secret plan. He's laying it out what his plan is. It's not an afterthought for you. It's not even mere chance. It's not even mere chance. His plan is to give you a hope and a future, to give you a peace and a joy no matter what the circumstance. And Paul's saying, look at me, I'm in jail and I'm writing this, and I'm not faking anything. I'm truly thankful for what God has done in my life. Now you tell me, this would be, if you haven't got your amen used up, you could use it up right here. When God chooses somebody, he changes them. Amen. What God starts, he finishes. Amen. He's got an unbelievable plan. And it doesn't mean all your burdens will go away. It doesn't mean that you'll hit the lottery. It doesn't mean the cancer goes away. It doesn't mean that that the toad that you married turns into a prince overnight like that. But over time, he probably will. Or the other way around or something like that. But it does mean that God will give you a peace and a patience and a kindness and a joy and a long-suffering and a love and just an unbelievable way to live life. Blessing number four. You are family. If you know Christ, if you're in Christ, if you've accepted Christ, you are family. Now, here again, I told the first service when I was studying this out for myself, and it's found right here in the scripture, and I'll read it. The first song that came to my mind is "We Are Family." Do you want me to sing that for you? Okay, like back in my office, I shut the door, and I don't have a disco ball there, but, you know, I was kind of wanting, you know, we are, you know, well, you got that in your head now, so you know what that is. But look what it says in Scripture. It says in verse 4, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless, so that be like Christ, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. Adoption to himself as sons. And so when we talk about self-identifying, God is saying all through Scripture, he wants to be identified as your father, and he wants you to identify as his son or daughter. He doesn't want you to identify primarily as you have the most Bible knowledge, or you have the most charisma, or you can play the keyboard the best, or you can sing the best, or you can, you know, teach the Bible lesson the best. That's not primarily what God is after. He wants you to identify yourself as a simple child of God. Simple child of God. And so he says, you're he's father, and you're son or daughter. And by the way, he uses the term father in every chapter of Ephesians. Now, I'm not sure all of what's going through Paul's mindset as he's chained to the Roman soldier for maybe up to 2 years, depending on which historian you believe. But somehow he realized as he's being chained up there and he's an A personality, he's on the go, he wants to go, he's remembering that God is his father, that God is his father. He wrote about it a lot, Romans 8, but look at Galatians chapter 4. He wrote, this is what Paul wrote, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then you're an heir through God. You get it all. Whatever he's going to give, Jesus is going to give you. You are family. And this is how he longs to be identified with you. He wants you to see yourself as his son or his daughter, and that you have a father you can cry out to in heaven. And so just put all the religion aside. Well, how do I want that? How do I get that? Well, you do somersaults down the center aisle. No, you don't do anything like that. You don't even have to raise your hand this morning. You just have to take God at his word and respond to the gospel. Look what John wrote in John 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him. So he's drawing you to himself, Jesus who died on the cross. Receive him. Just allow him into your life. Say, Jesus, come on in. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior who believed in his name. To believe in his name, you're saying, okay, I understand what you did on the cross. You died on the cross to take my sins away. I believe in that. He gave the right to become what? Children of God, who were born, not of blood, so that's physical birth, not of the will of flesh. You didn't get smart one day and say, I'm just going to make myself, and nor the will of man, but of God. Salvation is all of God. And so when you're born again into God's family, Paul says you're born rich. You are born rich, which leads me to the last blessing that's found in these first couple of verses. Number five, you are accepted. You are accepted. Now, you need to look at the verse with me, because otherwise you're going to miss it, because this word just doesn't jump off of the page in the English Standard Version that I'm reading from. It says in verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. The word blessed there is not the same word that's used in verse 3. It's a really cool word, but it literally means to accept into. So he just got done talking about the family of God, and he's the Father, and he wants you to be his sons, and he accepts you into the family through the beloved, through his son. When he thinks of his son, he thinks, oh, my beloved son who died on the cross. So the blessed us in the beloved equals accepted us. Now, I get a little bit fired up when I think about how God accepts us. Because I was taught the first 19, 20 years of my life is that I had to make myself acceptable to him. And you got to do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that. And so I'm living my life and I find what Paul found in Romans 7, the thing I don't want to do, I'm doing it. The thing I'm supposed to do, I'm not doing. And so I'm a party guy, and none of my friends would have ever known that a number of evenings as I went to bed, I was scared to die. And I'm saying Our Fathers and Hail Marys. Now, nobody told me I had to do that. It's just kind of what I observed, and I don't blame anybody but myself. And I'm like, you know, I'm not ready to die. And so I have the sins of my life. And then when I get out and into college, my sins grew more public and more loud and more devastating. And now for the first time in my life, I realized I'm never going to be acceptable to him. It's impossible. And for a period, God let me wallow in that and become totally a man of despair. I'm like, you know, Lord, I've gone to church all my life, and you know, if I can't feel like I'm acceptable to you, then who's going to do that? And then in the bottom of my despair, God, at just the right time, in just the right way, brings the gospel to me, and I hear, Dave, it's not you making yourself acceptable to me. You just come, you admit that you're not acceptable in and of yourself, and you just lay yourself out there, and you let my son make you acceptable to the Father. Cannot make ourselves acceptable to God. He makes us acceptable. Salvation is of the Lord. I could go to a number of verses, but listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, Paul wrote, he made him, Jesus, to be sin, who didn't know any sin, so that in him I might become the righteousness of God. I'm like, I was so ticked when I heard that. I'm just being dead honest. I'm like, why didn't anybody ever tell me this before? Why in the world didn't somebody tell me that? And then Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and God just used this to just bring such total freedom in my life. For by grace you've been saved through faith. I know the person that spoke that to me for the very first time, I know right where I was at, and for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. What? It's a gift of God. How can that be? Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Okay, that made sense. The person stopped right there and said, Dave, if you were to get to heaven on your own good works, when you stand up there and say I beat you up there, and I would say, Dave, what'd you do to get here? Well, then I'd start talking about what I did. I mean, and the person said, well, why did Christ die on the cross then, if it's you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense. For we are his, verse 10, his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand. There's the plan that we should walk in them. Now let me tell you something, and I have to wrap this up. No one in this room have sinned themselves outside of God's loving reach. Not one. I don't care what it is. And I know things about a lot of you that you wouldn't want anybody else to know, and that's good and that's cool. But if you're just visiting here, you know, you're not outside of God's loving reach, amen? Because by His grace, through His Son's death on the cross, He accepts you into the beloved. It's the greatest thing in the world, amen? The greatest thing in the world. And all He does is He just holds out His hands and says, just come to Me. Bring your burdens, bring your sin, bring your screwed up life, your bad decisions, all the muck, lay it at My feet. I'll forgive it, and I'll place you in My family, and I'll change the direction of your life. Is that true or not? It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. We've been blessed, chosen, planned, we're family, and we've been accepted, and we should rest in that. But you know what we have to do? Because the devil is always telling Dave that's, no, you're not good enough for all that. You're not, you know. And so I have to choose what I'm going to believe here. And Paul's saying, this is what you need to believe if you're in Christ. Now, every one of us, as I close, there's a logical, sequential couple of steps that we should take for every one of us, whether you're in Christ or outside of Christ. So here's how I want us to finish. And then Josh, in just a second, will come up here. He's going to lead us in a song like we always close, and he'll ask us to turn in the gold cards and pass the basket. But here's what I just want to bring you through, this mindset. Now, you can start it this morning, but I want you to take it through the day and the week. So the first step, based on God's blessing, is you should do introspection. Okay, right now, every one of us, including Pastor Dave, we should look deep within ourselves and say, what really identifies me? Have I truly placed my trust in Christ, or am I still working really hard for God to really like me and make, and I'm trying to be acceptable to God because, you know, otherwise He's just going to throw me to the curb. 2 Peter 1:10 says, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. He's writing that to believers. So do some introspection. Some of you will come to the point, you say, well, I'm not a follower of Christ. I'm not in Christ yet. Well, that's really simple right there. Because then the next step that just follows is the step of dedication. Now, if you're doing introspection and you're in Christ, then I think it would be appropriate, as you're doing introspection, that you should be thanking God for, just take a couple of moments before the rush of the day. You're thanking God for these blessings. You're saying, Lord, I'm going to claim them, even though I don't feel like I deserve them. I'm going to claim them. But if you're not a follower of Christ through introspection, then you have a time of dedication. And you say, if you're a believer, okay, am I identifying with Christ? Romans 12, Paul wrote that I should be a living sacrifice. Am I doing that? And I'm just asking you right here, if you're a follower of Christ, think of one thing that you know that God wants either out of your life or in your life that would make you conform to the image of Christ. Just ask God to give you one thing if you're a follower of Christ. If you're not a follower of Christ, then right where you're sitting, right where you're at, without walking the aisle, without talking to anybody, speak to God from your heart. Say, I'm a lost sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, if you saved Dave, I think you can save me. Would you just take my sins away and be my Savior and Lord? That's a step of dedication for you. And then for those of us who are believers, as Josh comes up here right now, the last step is a step of celebration. And I take you back to the very first verse, verse 3. Paul is saying, as he thinks about this, blessed be the God and Father. So he's actually listing praises. He's singing a song in his jail cell. He's like, blessed be You, Father. And when we sing about the Father's love, which we're going to sing about, how deep the Father's love, then with a heart full of gratitude, we should just like let it rip. I mean, just like, I'm going to be right down here in front so nobody has to hear me, but you know, if your voice is bad, come down with me. We'll hug each other and celebrate together. But let's celebrate then, but let's do business with the Lord. So in our closing, like we always do with the gold card, So I want you to go through those steps: introspection, dedication, celebration. Think about that as the pattern for your life to start out each week. But there's ways to respond on here. There's prayer, places to put a prayer request. What is God asking from you this very morning? So take a couple of moments, and then Josh will lead us in a closing song.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.